Welcome to the interview on the Raptors Republic Podcast Network. I'm Andrew Damelin, and if you hear my voice, we're going to be talking about the developmental side of the Raptors. And with the G League season about to get going, and with the Raptors' first round pick from last season sent down to the G League, we have a perfect guest to tee off his season. His name is Chris Acker. He is the assistant coach at San Diego State, Malachi Flynn's alma mater. Chris, how are you? I'm good, thank you. No, thanks for joining us. And before we even get into Malachi, I wanted to ask you, as someone who coaches in the Mountain West and someone who also played, you know, 2 years at JUCO ball, 2 years at Division II ball, in Canada, we have this like inferiority complex where we want Americans to give us their approval. Like Raptors fans always want the nationally televised games. And does a Mountain West coach or player sort of have that same type of feeling where they want to get noticed by like the Power Five conferences?
Of course, I mean you want to always put yourself in a position where people are recognizing what you're doing out there on the national stage. You know, obviously you got to earn that recognition, but you take a lot of pride in putting yourself in that position for sure.
So when you're watching Malachi Flynn, I'm not sure if you were watching him while he was at Washington State. I know he transferred over and you were still at Boise State in that transfer year. So when you're watching film of him and you're getting ready to bring him into the fold, you and Dave Velasquez and obviously Coach Dutcher, what do you see that you like and what do you see that you want to get your teeth into and sort of tweak about his game? Someone coming from a Power 5 school, a Pac-12 school, you know, you might call it going down, if you will. I mean, obviously no one from the Mountain West would call that. But is the attitude that Malachi had, is that typical of someone who transfers from a Power 5, quote, down to a mid-major? Or is his attitude sort of atypical that, you know, grab the sort of team by the horns and be that sort of emotional leader? Chris, I'm not sure how much of the Raptors podcast you listen to, but we like to get sort of really down in the weeds, and talking to an assistant coach is a special thrill. And there's one quote from you that really interested me. You said, you know, understanding how to teach the little things, all the little details and nuances that happen throughout the possession, understanding where your reads are coming from, who to play off, who's hot, how to get him the ball. So this is the level of detail that you try to impart on Malachi Flynn. And I'm wondering, just from a more technical perspective, how did you sort of implement what you wanted him to do, and how did he receive it just from a very specific, like, technical point of view?
Well, technically, it was just, you know, you sit there and you watch his game, and you take our offense, for example, and some of the plays that we ran specifically to put balls in his hands, it starts with, you know, your head coach saying, hey, I'm putting the ball in the hands of the guy that's going to make the right play. And then you sit there with Malachi and you watch film with him and you say, okay, now here are the situations, here are the scenarios. They're going to help off this guy because he's a non-shooter or they don't consider him to be an elite shooter. You've got to make the right play, and then we got to trust that that guy is going to make the right play. Or Malachi, you're going to come off a ball screen, and it's going to be you and the pick 2-on-2 because they're not going to help off any of the shooters. Just take your time and figure out, you know, within that little space, that little pocket, where your reads are going to come from, and just keep your head on the swivel as you're in those situations. And eventually, if you come off, you know, a ball screen, or if you come off a screen and you close the gap between the guy guarding you and the guy that's involved in that screen situation, your teammate's defender, you're usually going to be one-on-one with that big guy. And Malachi's mindset was he wanted to see that over and over and over again in film. And so when you make those, when you're in those situations every single day in practice because of how we play, and then you watch those film sessions, and then at the end of the day, you have a guy that's that talented that can put it all together that quickly. It's a special situation, and it's really, again, it's a credit to our style of play. It's a credit to Malachi, and it's a credit to Coach Duffy putting the ball in his hands and giving him the opportunity to make those plays.
And you mentioned him being able to attack mismatches, and I'm not sure how much of Malachi's NBA career you've been watching, but there was a preseason game against Charlotte, Cody Zeller got switched onto him, and he just, I mean, it popped out to me. He immediately attacked the mismatch and just got him into the paint for like a little like 10-foot pull-up, and I'm like, hold on a second, there might be something here. He was actually getting a lot of buzz during the preseason, so, you know, as Raptors 905 followers were hoping for obviously some success down with the G League. But, you know, given the fact that he comes over to the Mountain West, you guys start off 24-25-0, and, you know, he's a finalist for the top point guard for the Cousy Award. He wins the conference player of the year, the conference defensive player of the year. I don't know if this is an overly simplistic question, but how does someone like that sort of fall through the cracks from a Pac-12 team and go down to Mountain West? Or is it sort of more, it's not as simple as that?
Well, no, I think, you know, first and foremost, I'm thankful that we were able to figure it out and we landed him. But I think a lot of times, you know, when you're evaluating guys, you're looking for fits for your program, you know. And Malachi is one of those guys that, you know, initially in high school may not have passed the eye test. And then he's one of those guys that continued to get better. And when he got to Washington State, you know, he wasn't a highly recruited player, but he proved himself at that level. And again, certain guys are just different. Malachi was one of those guys that was looking for a place where he could do exactly what he did. You mentioned his accolades and the success he had in San Diego State. That's why he came to San Diego State, so that he can accomplish exactly, you know, what we all got to witness him accomplish. And so it wasn't about finding another Power 5 program. It was about for him finding the right fit. And that's what he did in San Diego State. He found the right fit, and he got better every single day. And I think, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, people say it's kind of cliche. It doesn't matter where you go. It really does matter where you go, because at the end of the day, you want to go to a place that's going to fit you and it's going to give you the opportunity to do those things, you know. And you mentioned, like, him looking for mismatches and different things like that. Well, you know, for us, those are the nuances. Those are things we try to look at. The Mountain West is a very, very good conference, and there's really good coaches in our conference. A lot of teams in our league, they switch 1 through 5 in ball screens. So, you know, for us, we got to find the mismatches. And Malachi did that night in and night out, you know, at the collegiate level. And so I'm not surprised at all to watch him do it at the NBA level.
And you said he's a proven winner, and he was. I think you guys had a 30-2 record before the season was cut short. And the first loss your team had was against UNLV. And I was just wondering, from such a, you know, competitive alpha like Malachi, do you have any memories of what the locker room was like, or what he was like after that first loss of the season? Because you were so close to pulling off an undefeated year.
Well, he was angry. I mean, I remember that. I mean, there wasn't a guy in our locker room that wasn't upset. You know, we definitely wanted. We talked about going undefeated, but I know our guys thrived on winning. And you know, every practice when there was a loss, there was an argument. There was, like, you know, somebody frustrated with the refereeing or guy was just, you know, he was the forefront in front of all of that, and he was extremely frustrated. And again, a credit to his leadership, we were able to come back the next game and get a win.
Yeah, and you guys obviously finished out the season strong. You did lose in the conference tournament, but the 30-2 record is a 30-2 record. And the season is going on, and Malachi's draft stock is starting to rise. He's starting to be talked of as a first-round pick. Do you remember, and I'm not sure when Malachi said this, but he had a quote giving sort of his own scouting report. He says, I'm 6'1". I don't get off the ground as much as NBA guys do. I need to have those floaters and pull-ups, and or else I won't have a chance. I have to be super skilled to go up against these guys that are freaky athletic. I need to get faster and stronger. Do you remember him saying that and like maybe going up to him and being like Malachi, don't downgrade. Don't give every downside of your game. Do you remember ever sort of reading that, or is that just how humble he, or I guess how realistic Malachi is?
Yeah, I remember reading that. I never really said anything to him about it, but I mean, you know, that's more to me a guy understanding what his limitations are and then trying to focus in on what's going to help him have the most success at that level. And he was just brutally honest about where he was as a player. I mean, you can look at him and say, like, this is what he's not. But when you're competing against him and you're in a battle with him, you start seeing that, like, he's one of the best competitors you're going to be around. And so it wouldn't surprise me if Malachi's one of those guys that's in the league 15 years and, you know, a superstar for an organization one day just because of, you know, what he's been able to do. And it's a beautiful thing to watch him be able to compete with guys like Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet and learn from guys that, you know, some would consider to be underdogs in their collegiate careers that have become, you know, household names there in Toronto. So I'm really, really excited about the future for Malachi in Toronto.
And at this stage, are NBA scouting departments still going on, he's only 6'1"? Like, is that still a thing, given the success of so many different programs and like size not being an issue? That's just still like a stigma is the size. That's just kind of how it goes still.
Well, I think NBA organizations, those guys do a great job of evaluating and they understand exactly what you're looking at. And when you watch as much film as those guys do, you can start seeing there's a difference between some 6'1" guys and other 6'1" guys. There's a difference competitively, and just in the conversation with coaches and what coaches say about their player, and you get the consensus of a particular guy, and then you start moving past, you know, the height, the weight, the strength, the quickness, and you start looking at the intangible things and why that program had the amount of success they had, and you start realizing that guy can do it at that level, at the level he did it at, he may be able to help our organization later on down the line. So I think NBA guys do a tremendous job evaluating, and again, I'm just really excited that Toronto chose him, and I'm sure he's very, very excited to be there.
Yeah, no, Toronto does have a history of developing guys, and in a more general perspective, just from your perspective, what's the most common question that you get from an NBA scout coming into San Diego State?
You know, a lot of times you get asked, you know, how competitive he really is. That's one question that you hear a lot. The other question is, what translates to our level is another question you get a lot. And so, you know, you got to really hone in on those questions because those questions are critical questions that help them understand, you know, the type of competitor they're getting, and then what skill they can count on for day one. And as coaches, as evaluators, we're all the same. We want to know what translates right away to our level so that if we put him in a game, what can we depend on as a staff?
Yeah, and he obviously paid immediate dividends for San Diego State, and Raptors fans still have very high hopes for Malachi. One last question for you, more on the emotional end. I was wondering, where were you when you were watching the NBA draft, and what was your reaction when you, I don't know if you actually heard his name called on the broadcast, but what was your reaction when you found out that he was taken for the NBA?
Well, to be honest, I was sitting at home with a buddy of mine, and I was elated. I was so excited that Toronto had chosen because, again, as a coach, you want your guys to be surrounded by guys that are gonna lead you. Lead your guys and guys that have kind of gone down that path that kind of show you the ropes. And so you know, for all guys that are making that transition to the NBA, there's some guys that are special that can just go to that level and dominate right away. Like, we're seeing that a lot with guys like LaMelo Ball, you know what I mean? But, you know, Malachi is learning the ins and outs, and Malachi is already a complete person, and he understands who he is. He's not one of those guys that just tries to fit in. But to be, you know, a 6'1 guard at that level, who better to learn from than Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry? You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And learn how to make an impact in an NBA organization and those two guys right there. So, again, I was so excited that it was Toronto, and Raptors fans are going to have, you know, a guy that is going to be around for a long time. And I hope that's the organization he's with.
And one thing you can be rest assured is that the team is going to invest the time in him. They don't just give up on guys after a year or so. They hang on to second round picks, and when they believe in someone, they do stick with them. So he's definitely, I would agree with you, he's in the correct environment to see him flourish. Listen, Chris, we took enough of your time. We really appreciate it, and we wish you the best of luck in the rest of the NCAA season.
Thank you so much, and again, I appreciate you having me on anytime.
All right, have a great day.